Hi there, everybody. Welcome to The Principal Entrepreneur. I'm your host and author of the upcoming book, How to Be a Great Principal, Jonathan Royce. This is episode 81 of The Principal Entrepreneur, where we support educational leaders with strategies and suggestions that answer the question, how do I become a great principal? I also interview principals, school and educational leaders just like me and you, and discuss their areas of expertise and how they overcome the challenges within schools. In today's episode, we're talking with principal, best-selling author, and founder of Elite Aspirations Educational Programs, Mrs. Tiffany Stallings. Mrs. Stallings is the author of the children's book, Gigi and Mimi, Mommy Works Too Much, and The Bounce Back Mindset, How to Bounce Back When Life Has Screwed You. We'll dive into the inspiration for her books a bit later in the conversation, but before we do so, let's get into her origin story. Mrs. Stallings, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I'm glad we got to connect. We had a little bit of an issue last week and with my wedding anniversary, and I want to apologize for having to reschedule there.
Oh, no worries.
Before we talk about your books, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, let's talk about your origin story. How did you even get into education? What was that inspiration?
Okay, well, my mother and my aunt were both, they're all teachers, and growing up, I swore that I would never go into education, a psychology major in college.
Right.
And I ended up doing an internship, volunteering at a school, and I absolutely loved the experience, and I started substitute teaching the following year, and that's how I ended up in the classroom and ended up becoming an educator.
Was there a particular teacher or student or experience that kind of crystallizes where you thought, maybe this isn't such a bad idea?
Yes, definitely the internship. I was supposed to just basically observe, and the teacher allowed me to develop and implement a lesson. And just that experience and seeing how the students enjoyed the lesson and how they, you know, they had that aha moment that all teachers love, well, you know, their students to have, that is what sparked my interest into becoming a teacher.
And then, so there was a teacher, you had your internship. Was it a psych internship, or how did that internship work out?
It was an educational psychology internship, and it wasn't as intense as the, student teaching intern opportunities. So I was supposed to just observe. Right. I wasn't actually supposed to teach, and the teacher, she gave me an opportunity, and that's how that transpired.
Do you remember that teacher's name?
I do not recall, but it was a school near my college, Montclair State.
Okay. My assumption is she saw something in you and then she got you hooked on purpose.
She did, because, you know, I remember insisting, you know, I'm just here to observe. I'm not here to actually teach. And she, you know, she insisted that I, you know, give it a try.
Right.
And I'm so glad that she did.
Yeah, that's the... I had a similar mindset when I was coming out of high school and even college, not wanting to even go into education just because, you know, that's one of the least cool things that I could think of to do or to be, was a teacher. And then I just, you know, I did a lot of coaching, and that kind of was that first taste of instructing kids. And then from the coaching piece, it went to finally deciding, you know, I'm doing all these little pieces of coaching, I might as well make it a career and go into education. So that was how I kind of fell into it.
Wow.
So you became a teacher. What were the steps that got you into administration? Was that a clear-cut path for you, or did you just, were you again introduced to that by somebody who saw something in you?
It definitely was not a clear-cut path. So I started teaching. I started teaching fourth grade, and I had no intention on moving up. And my principal at the time, Mr. Theodore Hoover, he allowed me the autonomy to become to act like a lead teacher for our fourth grade team, and that was my first stint with leadership in a school setting, where I was able to work with the teachers and provide guidance to the new teachers that came on board. And that experience actually sparked my interest in moving up the school ladder.
Right. So you became an assistant principal and then a principal. Is that correct?
Well, so I was in a public school setting, and I actually left to start a business. I had a pretty successful tutoring business that I ran on the side, and I worked with a former college roommate. And so I actually did leave the classroom to run that business, and we went from tutoring to consulting in schools to designing summer camp programs. And eventually I did find my way back into a school setting where I worked at a charter school.
Okay.
And I was hired as the school's first assistant principal.
So it was a new charter, and they brought you in as the assistant principal.
Yes.
How was that experience?
It definitely was challenging, but it prepared me for, every future position that I would hold.
Right.
Because, as a new charter, we were basically starting everything from the beginning. And so, that's a challenge within itself, but also it allowed a lot of creativity that you probably wouldn't normally get in a school setting.
Right. And that must have fit right in there with your previous stint as an entrepreneur and owning your own business. Those two kind of skill sets kind of merged in that opportunity.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If I had not had the experience of, starting a company from scratch, I probably would have, failed miserably in that position. You definitely had to have an entrepreneurial mindset working in a new charter school.
So you were an assistant principal, and then did you become a principal of that same charter, or what was that next step?
So I was able to prove myself the first year as assistant principal, and so I was offered the opportunity to become a middle school principal and open up a new middle school within the charter school. And so that basically happened within a year from when I started the position.
Wow. That's impressive.
It was exciting. Thank you.
Right? Man, so within basically 18 to 24 months, you basically got and assisted in getting two schools up and running.
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Let me ask you then, out of those years, what was your biggest educational challenge?
Well, the biggest educational challenge, particularly at the charter school, was, taking, a relatively new school, and I want to say 75% of the staff were new teachers and new to the field, or alternate route teachers that had, did not go through the traditional methods of obtaining teacher certification. So a new school, teachers new to the field, and then taking that and building a fully functioning school and performing relatively well, that was probably the biggest challenge of my entire career, even to date.
Right. What were some of the things that you did to build that camaraderie and teamwork?
What I definitely did with the staff is included them in everything. So it was never a matter of me, dropping down initiatives and saying, you know, this is what we're going to do. I had a team mindset with every initiative. So whether it was discipline or curriculum or hiring, bringing on new staff members to our team, I involved the school, you know, my colleagues with every decision.
Right, right. I can just imagine that must have been exhilarating and stressful at the same time.
Yes, it definitely was, because I was also still running my company on the side during all of this, which I would never recommend to anyone.
So how much sleep were you getting?
Probably none. None. I had, you know, 3 young children at the time, but... You know, during this time, I was, you know, very ambitious.
Right.
I didn't want to let the company, you know, go, because I had invested so many years into building it. And, of course, my career as an administrator, that was extremely important to me. And so, you know, I did try to do both. And I, you know, eventually did end up burning out.
Right, right. Oh, man. That is tough. What is...
Yeah.
So if you were going to boil that whole kind of experience down, what's the single greatest takeaway from that experience for you?
The biggest takeaway is, you know, identify one goal and focus, be hyper-focused on that one goal, because you cannot be effective, you know, putting your hands in, you know, so many different pots. You know, I was a wife, I was a mom, I was trying to run a business, you know, I'm running a school. I was also called to be, you know, a speaker. I was a guest lecturer at, you know, at a college. And, you know, I was just trying to do everything.
Right, right.
So, you know, the biggest lesson I learned at that time is, you know, there's only one of you. And you know, it's okay to have many interests, but, you know, if you want to excel, you know, my whole, you know, my recommendation is, you know, take a particular goal and, you know, go for it and, you know, help others, you know, continue to be mentored. And, you know, that is one thing I would definitely do differently.
Right. Did you have a mentor during that time?
Yes, I did have a mentor. My principal, the first one that hired me at the charter school, he was a source of knowledge, a great source of knowledge. And, you know, we worked very well together. And, you know, he did provide a lot of inspiration and support for me during that time as well.
Right, right. So it sounds like, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, you're an author, and it sounds like these personal and life experiences inspired at least this children's book, Gigi and Mimi, Mommy Works Too Much, just what you were describing.
Yes.
what is the message there that you were looking to convey in that book, and was that the inspiration?
Yes, absolutely. I have 3 children, and my youngest 2 daughters, they are Gigi and Mimi. And during this time, I thought that I was doing a wonderful job of balancing being a mom and a career woman and an educator and a wife. You know, I thought that I was, you know, doing it all. And it took my 7-year-old daughter to send me an email one night, and she wrote me and she said, "When are you coming home? You work too much." And, you know, that one message just filled me with so much guilt. And I, you know, for reasons that I can't still explain today, I wrote it down. I wrote down, "Mommy works too much" on a sticky note, and I stuck it on my computer. And that is the beginnings of my first children's book, "Mommy Works Too Much."
Is that the story within the book, or did you take pieces of that and add it to your story,
Yes. Yeah. So what I did, the book was basically like an apology to my children, and I also wrote it for other working moms that have to balance, you know, everything. And so, you know, the basic premise of the story is, you know, it's for children to understand, you know, that your mom, she works very hard, you know, but she's doing the best for her family. And, you know, and the message is for moms that read the story to their children, you know, it's okay to be ambitious, to work hard, but just, you know, just take some time and remember that, you know, you have little ones watching you, and to take some time to, you know, remember them as well as you're climbing this, you know, career ladder.
Right, right. So it looks like this next book that I mentioned, Bounce Back Mindset, it seems like that's a response to kind of that that burnout that you were talking about. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so with the Bounce Back Mindset, so while I was working as, you know, a principal and running a business and running a family, like I mentioned, I did experience burnout. And it came to a point where I could no longer do both effectively. And I wanted to do both things very well. I wanted to be a school administrator. I wanted to run my business. And I made the decision to run my business. So I did leave the principal's position.
Right.
And, you know, and I ran a very successful business for several years. And, but of course, you know, running a successful business, it takes a toll on everyone, your family, your friendships. And eventually the business did fold. So the business folded. I started experiencing several health issues because I was working so long and so hard and I wasn't taking care of myself.
Right.
And then I eventually got divorced. So all of this happened within a few short years. And so, you know, I found myself at a point where I had no job, no business. You know, I was divorced.
Right, right.
And, you know, several health issues. And, you know, I thought my career was over at the time. And so, I was able to, with the help of friends and family and counseling and prayer, I was able to bounce back. You know, I started a new career. I started a new business, a new company. I also, you know, started taking better care of myself with exercising and running and biking and swimming. You know, I wrote these books and I decided to, and I had many people reach out to me to say, you know, Tiffany, how did you do that? How did you come back?
Right.
And so, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I was writing and, you know, inboxing people on social media where I decided to just write a book.
Right, right.
And the book, I thought that, you know, no one would read it besides, you know, my few fans on Facebook. But with, you know, the magic of social media, my books were bestsellers on Amazon. And, you know, so that is, you know, where the bounce back mindset comes from. So it's basically me writing and discussing how I was able to come back, you know, career-wise and, you know, personal-wise as well.
That's those lessons there that you speak of in that book, especially with students that are working with challenges. I teach I'm a principal at an alternative high school, so our kids are continually working with challenges, be it home life or, you know, socioeconomic issues. They're dealing with something. This sounds like there's some really or a really good message in that book. What are or is there a particular theme in there, besides the one that's in the title, that kind of speaks to that perseverance?
Yes, you know, perseverance is definitely the ongoing theme in my book, and you know, it not only applies to, you know, someone that's gone through personal challenges, you know, it goes for students and anyone going through something that seems insurmountable. It's your thinking, it's your mindset. It's, you know, not just looking for answers or, you know, trying to figure something out. It's the thought that you will figure it out. You will make it to the other side of whatever hurdle you're experiencing. So, you know, in the bounce back mindset, you know, I discuss ways to just remain positive, even when it seems hopeless. Right. And I think that's a message that, you know, almost anyone can, relate to.
Right, right. So you were assistant principal, then a principal, while being a CEO of a company.
Yeah.
You had your breakdown where you lost what you thought was everything. Then you bounced back. You picked up your career again. You were assistant principal again, and now you're becoming a principal again. What are you doing, I guess, differently this time around? Because you're from what you're describing, you're on the same road. What are the lessons learned that you've kind of keep in mind so you don't burn out again?
Right. I definitely focus on self-care now. So in between that time, from my first principalship to now, I got into running. And so I have been able to run 2 marathons.
Nice.
Several half marathons. I got into biking. I did my first triathlon last summer. And so what I do differently now is I do no longer work 15, 18-hour days. I make time to take care of myself and exercise and work out. And I have other goals, you know, beyond, you know, school and career.
Right.
You know, while my career is very important, you know, it's also important that, you know, I get in at least 20 to 30 minutes of me time.
Right, right. Wow. You're impressive.
Thank you.
You are impressive.
Thank you so much.
A couple years ago, I ran a half a marathon, and that was the hardest physical athletic type of challenge that I've ever experienced. Just I can't even imagine doubling down on that and then tripling with the try. Good for you.
I mean, a half marathon is not an easy feat. It is not easy.
No, I know. I got to about 800 yards out, and my goal was to just run the whole way or to have a running like form. And I cramped up that last 800, and I couldn't lift my legs. I was so pissed at that point. And eventually, you know, I loosened up a little bit, and I was able to kind of make my way across the finish line. But to be that close and then cramp up, that was disappointing. But
no, that has happened to me literally feet away from the finish line. I've had to drag myself across the finish line. Yeah. It happens.
That's life though for you, right?
Absolutely.
So just thinking back and where you're at now, if you were to give a piece of advice to other principals starting out or educators just kind of joining the field, what advice would you give to us?
For new principals, definitely the message I would convey is do not ever forget your time as a classroom teacher. So many teachers, you know, they reach out to me and they say, you know, they have difficulty with their principals because, you know, they make these demands that, you know, don't seem realistic or, you know, they don't take consideration of, you know, the classroom teacher. And so definitely do not forget. Yes, we have all these regulations. Yes, you know, test scores and, you know, all of these demands, but just do not ever forget what it was like to be behind that desk and in front of that classroom.
Right.
And new educators, you know, don't forget the reason why you became an educator. Don't forget your mission. It gets very easy to get bogged down with all the paperwork and all the requirements and, you know, just all the politics. But just remember at the end of the day why you decided to enter that classroom and change the lives of all the students in front of you.
Yeah. Good pieces of advice. Last question for
me.
What are two books that have had the greatest impact on you?
Okay, so definitely, just to give you a backstory. So when I was in college, I didn't mention an internship, and I decided to become a substitute teacher. And so, when you go to central office, they just send you to a random school. You have no idea where you're going to end up.
Right.
And I ended up at a middle school, and I remember, being introduced to the principal. And I just remembered how powerful this person was and his, presence and how he was so respected. And I was just a per diem substitute, and I remember him giving me the utmost respect. And it turns out he was Mr. Baruni Kafele.
Ah.
Who I had no idea who I was working with at that time. And I remember his book, one of his first books. It was a handbook for teachers of African American children. And I remember buying that book early in my career and sharing it with colleagues and just using the tools in that book as I, became a teacher. So that would be one by Mr. Kafele. And also one of his more recent books, The Principal 50. It was a very, it wasn't too big. It was a very thin book. I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of it, but because I knew the author, I knew I would get something.
Right, right.
And that book, The Principal 50, I keep it right here on my desk at work. Those are two books that definitely made an impact on me as a professional.
Yep, he was, Principal Kafele was one of my first interviews that I did on the podcast. He's a really good guy.
Yes.
Well, both he and his books have had multiple mentions on the show, just as pieces of literature that are really impactful for educators. So, good picks.
Thank you.
Well, Mrs. Stallings, that is it for today. Thanks so much for your time. If people want to reach out to you and get in contact with regards to either your books or speaking engagements or your company, where can they find you at?
Yes, I can be reached at O Tiffany Wrights. That's O-H Tiffany Wrights, all one word. That's all my social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I can also be reached on my website, www.oltiffanywrights.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you today.
Once again, that was Mrs. Tiffany Stallings, principal, author, and CEO. A few of her main points include: make time to take care of yourself and have goals beyond school and career. New principals, never forget your time as a classroom teacher. And build your team by including your staff in everything. Two books that she recommends, both by Principal Kafele, are Handbook for Teachers of African American Children and The Principal 50, both books that have been recommended multiple times on this show. For a written summary, you can go over to my blog at howtobeagreatprincipal.com and type in Tiffany in the search bar over there in the top right-hand corner. If you're a principal, make sure that you check out the new grant scholarship available that honors the hard work you put in on a daily basis. K-12 principals, again, you can go to that website, howtobeagreatprincipal.com, click on grant applications, and you can see what you need to do to apply for that grant. For more short articles and tips that support educational leaders, check out my other blog posts at howtobeagreatprincipal.com. And or pre-order my new book, How to Be a Great Principal, 36 Shared Leadership Success Strategies. If you're an auditory learner, you can download my podcast, The Principal Entrepreneur. We have new episodes weekly, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, as I can get other educational leaders. You can find those on Podomatic and iTunes. To join the podcast as a guest, email me at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. Finally, I'm part of a community of supportive principals. Please join our private Facebook group. If you go to Facebook and type in The Principal Entrepreneur, the private group will pop up and just request access, and I will be happy to grant it to you. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Principal Entrepreneur.